Well, King Charles III will deliver the speech from the throne today. You will hear it live on 980 CJME about 9 o'clock this morning. He's only the second monarch to do so, too. Usually it's the governor general, right? And the king's mom, Queen Elizabeth II, read the speech back in 1957 and in 1977. And joining me now, I do not believe she was there for either one of those speeches because she's so young and vibrant. She's our provincial news director, Sarah Mills. Good morning, Sarah.
I had a cup of tea this morning. Of course I'm vibrant.
Well, a bit of a royal watcher, aren't you, Sarah?
I am a royal watcher. I grew up in the shadow of Windsor Castle, so it's very hard not to be.
How have you been following this royal visit so far with the King touching down in Ottawa yesterday?
You know, it's always good to see. I think both the monarchy and Canada as a country take very seriously the relationship they have together, the shared histories. I mean, there's members of the royal family that have had personal visits, not just the official royal tours, but Andrew and his ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, they had their honeymoon on the prairies. We've seen Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, come on numerous occasions privately. So there's a strong relationship here. So, I mean, it was great to see all the crowds and sort of the pomp and everything that went on yesterday.
It certainly was, and he mixed and mingled with the crowd, as you alluded to there. He even dropped the puck on a street hockey game. But what will you be listening for in this speech today? Because clearly it's pretty strongly noted that he's trying to send a message on our behalf through to Trump. But what else do you hope to hear in this speech?
Well, throwing speeches are really the blueprint for a government and what they plan to do. So I would be surprised if there are any surprises. We've just been through an election campaign, so a lot of what you heard will be in this speech, but it allows you also to send messages. And I think very much both the significance of the king at this point in our history, politically, with what we faced from the US and the president this last few weeks and months, it's the message of who is delivering it, that we remain a sovereign nation, that we remain someone not for sale. And the king and the monarch, king or queen, is always above that political fray, but they can send messages. The fact they accepted this invite, the fact that we have seen pieces of jewelry being worn by female members of the royal family in just events in this last few weeks, indicates those subtle sort of nods to say we're connected. So the significance of who's delivering the speech, and then likely a very strong message you will see, much like we saw during the election, that hey, we need a new relationship with the US, and here's what our blueprint is to achieve that.
Yeah, and that blueprint, the tone has got to be set, I think, almost immediately with substance, right? Show us some concrete action. Like stripping away barriers for free trade quickly. But I do think it was pretty forward-thinking of Carney, no matter your politics, to ask the king before he became prime minister to read this speech. And who knows, maybe that's a bit of a vibe check or a symbol of what's to come for the country. We can only hope, I guess. But it was a pretty smart move, wasn't it?
I think so. And especially if you recall, we've seen since the inauguration, we have seen numerous political leaders go and visit Donald Trump in the White House, including British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, who, knowing how much Donald Trump loves the sort of pomp and pageantry and everything that comes with state visits, they were very quick to say, we're extending a state visit to you, which means the monarch hosts the president, as we've seen in the past with Donald Trump on his first run as during his presidency. The fact that very quickly, before that state visit has happened, you've got this today is hugely important.
You will hear it all live at 9 this morning. And I thank you, Sarah, for your insight as well, too.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Here you go. Lots of conversations about why this song is being used in the Oiler dressing room and during the game. It's Pink Pony Club, Chapel Rowan. As a matter of fact, in the dying minutes of this past Sunday's game against the Stars, you could even hear fans, over 18,000, singing. So what's up with this song and the Oilers here? A little background for us. Yes, the Oilers still will famously use La Bamba in victory in the memory of their longtime locker room attendant, Joey Moss, who loved that song and would blast it after games. And then after Moss passed in 2020, the Oilers, of course, adopted La Bamba even more so when a little super fan Ben Stelter came along and he famously said, "Play La Bamba, baby," during an Oilers playoff run. And the young man passed away from cancer, but they kept it alive. And they consistently use it after a game is won. But what about Pink Pony Club? Why that song? If you're wondering why, well, local media are trying to really push the players to talk about it.
Can either of you speak to the origin or what it means to you, how Pink Pony Club has become your victory song?
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to keep that one within the team there.
That's Evan Bouchard, who was asked after Game 3 the other day. But they're keeping closed mouths. Certainly the song is a little inside meaning. They're not willing to share entirely yet. But some of the equipment staff have previously said, you know what, that song stands for resiliency and other players are feeling its meaning and that's what the song stands for. Chapel Roan wrote it and recorded Pink Pony Club back in 2019. And at the time, her label said, "That sucks." And they dropped her from the label, in fact. And 5 years later, well, she includes it on her debut album to prove a point. And, well, there you have it. Something the Oilers can relate to, right? Resiliency. It's a song about not giving up on a dream. And the Oilers kind of tuck that thought in their head as they have that song playing after games in the locker room. And now fans are singing it, too, in the closing minutes if they're up and winning, too. So there's the story behind the song of what we know now. There might be a little more the players may reveal after the playoffs and the run is over. But I don't think this run is ending here. Tonight, it's in Edmonton. Puck drops 6 o'clock our time tonight. I do believe the Oilers are going to win this game, too. Dallas might win one more at home, but the Oilers are going to move on to the Stanley Cup. Yes, you never hear me say anything differently. From the very beginning, I've said that. The Panthers and the Oil will meet again in the Stanley Cup. Well, I got another family pack of Mosaic passports, a couple for mom and dad, a couple for your kids. If you want to save a few bucks and enjoy all the pavilions with your passport next week, well, here's your opportunity. Text me your first and last name. Be the 10th text through at 1-877-300-7275. I'll hand over those family pack of passports for Mosaic, returning June 5th through 7th. Certainly seeing a lot of people being evacuated up north due to the wildfires just in the last 24 hours northeast of PA near Candle Lake. Two fires merging into one massive blaze and the smoke so bad in the north. Elders, 1,300 children have been evacuated from Pelican Narrows to Saskatoon. And for families, it's gut-wrenching, right? Watching homes, even trailers near the burning fires as those flames creep toward everything they love. Ralph Danzak, who owns a trailer up near Pipperell Lake. He says he won't know for sure what's left till he's allowed back up there.
It's hard. Like, we've had the trailer up there since 1974. It's a family trailer, second generation. And it's tough, you know? You just don't know if it's there or if it isn't there. Or I feel bad for the Shelley and Richard. That's their home up there. So, no, it's hard. It's hard. There's a lot of second generation, you know, where their parents had the trailer and now us as kids have it. And hopefully our kids can take it over. We'll see.
Combined, the fires cover an area the size, they suggest, of Saskatoon, Regina, and Prince Albert three times. And cabins have been lost and many having to evacuate. And we continue to monitor the situation. And we'll bring you details as we get them here, too. Of course, the Royals are here in Canada. King Charles III will wrap up his 48-hour visit to Canada with a lot of pomp and pageantry. He and Camilla will be paraded through downtown Ottawa in a horse-drawn carriage this morning. They're going to be, of course, dropped off at Parliament. It's underway now where the King will be reading the speech from the throne about 9 o'clock our time. We'll carry it live here on 980 CJME. And no doubt King Charles will be underlining the essence of sovereignty and that we're not interested in becoming the 51st state. And while they enjoyed yesterday, they took them to a market where they wandered about meeting folks and mixing and mingling in the crowd there. And after the market, they participated in a tree planting ceremony where the dirt used was a little dirt from all 13 provinces and territories, apparently. And oh, and they dropped the puck off to start a road hockey game. Got the audio there, I think, of that one.
Okay! Game on!
Yeah, that's the king there.
Game on! Game on!
And sure enough, the street hockey was on. Sovereignty, though, major talking point of the day. And, of course, the blueprint of what's to come for Prime Minister Carney from here forward. That'll be interesting to see what sort of detail we get out of this throne speech as well today, too. The media covering the king here in Canada from a BBC perspective, it seems designed to send a message to Trump. The BBC headline this morning read, King Charles travels to support Canada as it fends off Trump. Again, the live coverage of Prime Minister Mark Carney's historic throne speech read by the king starting at 9 this morning during the Evan Bray Show. It's going to be a nice, sunny, warm one, and maybe you'll be barbecuing when you get home and kicking back if you're a fan of The Handmaid's Tale. The series finale dropped today. I've never watched a single episode, but I know how popular that show is if you want to check it out. This morning, if you're ever at the corner of Angus and Fifth, you're going to see this large building that looks almost done. It's a 30-unit Orange Buffalo Lodge in North Central Regina that has had to sit idle since last November after $8 million in government funding ran out here. But what's next? It's a pretty vital project considering we've got a huge housing crisis in our community and affordability crisis as well. So to get this across the finish line, a building of which I've been inside, it's going to be massively terrific. I couldn't believe how spectacular it is inside that building. And it's going to be supporting low-income children, youth, seniors, and families in need of support to help them get back on their feet and move on. And comes with a support of caseworkers, volunteers, professionals. What do we do to get this moving again? Well, I asked Doug McNair from the Orange Buffalo Lodge Project joining me now. Good morning, Doug. Welcome.
Thanks, Greg, for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you are. So what now? How do you get this project moving again? And who do you call on for help?
Greg, this project's probably one of the most complicated ones that I think I've ever been involved in. You know, we were pretty anxious to get the building completed with the funds that we had available to us. And then as we went, started going through the project, we realized that through cost escalation and admittedly a budget that wasn't quite adequate for what we were trying to do, we started to realize that we couldn't raise funds fast enough to keep the construction going. So we put it on pause to kind of reset the project, and now we're getting close to getting started up again.
Well, who do you call on next to assist in getting this done?
Well, you got to appreciate North Central Family Center is such a wonderful organization, but it's a small organization. It doesn't have a lot of resources of its own, so it has to rely on others. And part of that is relying on the community, and the community has been outstanding to step up to support the project. But also, too, it's important to have the governments involved. And so we've been spending the last number of months having some really good discussions with the city, with the province, with the federal government about getting the funds we need to get this project done.
And those conversations, are they promising? Have you heard anything, or is it too soon to tell?
They certainly are promising. I think once we, you mentioned you've been in that building, it's 80% done. We've had politicians and ministers through there. And others, community influencers as well, and everybody says this has to be done. And so the discussions have been very encouraging. It is kind of interesting. We've come up against the federal election, which held up discussions here for probably a couple of months. So the province is helping us talk to the federal government as well.
Doug McNair, we're talking about the Orange Buffalo Lodge project there, Angus and Fifth. Yeah, standing inside, it's all at lockup right now. The windows are all in, and it's so close to being done here. And I know North Central Family Center committed like $4 million towards the community hub that's going to go in the building. They've raised nearly half through the Hopes and Dreams campaign. How concerning is it you're only at the halfway point there?
We're not really concerned at all. We've got lots of follow-ups there, and we've had nothing but good reception, really, once we get to tell the story. What we've done with Hopes and Dreams in the last 3 or 4 months, we've kind of put it on pause as well as we reorganize the project, I guess. We don't want to get ourselves into the situation again, so we've taken a good hard look at the challenges of starting a project before you're not completely funded. So this time we've engaged others to do complete costing, full costing on the project. And so we're about ready to relaunch Hopes and Dreams as well. So we're excited. We've got a new path going forward here. We've got the support of our funders, and we just have to bring this thing home.
Perhaps our listeners can help.
Absolutely. I think just the even awareness, drive by the building, as you mentioned, Angus and Fifth, it's really remarkable. It's a big piece of social infrastructure, they call it. It's like you have hospitals, you have schools, you have community centers, and we need this community hub for that particular neighborhood who has lots of needs.
Good luck, Doug. I hope this project gets fired up again, 80% completed. We got to finish it off, and I hope you get the funding you need.
Well, I'd like to invite you to the ribbon cutting here sometime in the future.
I'll be there, Doug. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate your time.
Okay, Greg. Thanks. Have a good day.